This edition of The Stack was first broadcast on the 20th of June 2015 on Monocle 24.
A bountiful newsstand blooming with the best magazines from across Europe, a week devoted to men's fashion in Milan and Florence, and a group of Monocle editors let loose on the coast of Tuscany. Clear the way, The Stack's on two wheels through Italia. Today, on the special, loosely men's-themed edition of The Stack, we'll be examining the Edicola, Italy's answer to the kiosk, and also hearing about what men are reading in the fashion arena.
Of course, magazines like ID, or GQ, or L'Officiel Homme matters, but I really pay attention to magazines like Business of Fashion, of course.
All that, plus Andrew Tuck and Richard Spencer Powell on the scene. Today on The Stack, Monocle 24's dedicated print review and analysis show. Hello and welcome to Forte di Marmi, a little modernist enclave on the coast of Tuscany that's formed the backdrop for our Monocle mid-year retreat. In fact, the second time that we're doing it, and there's about 14 of us here zipping up and down the coast, also parked a little bit on the beach. And I'm happy to say that we're sitting at Edicola Fortino, a really fantastic kiosk in the heart of Forte di Marmi, and I'm joined by our editor Andrew Tuck, also Richard Spencer Powell, our creative director. Maybe Andrew, it would be good just to maybe paint a bit of a picture, because I've been coming here for about 15 years and I've seen this little square evolve from a functioning working square in this town. It's become a little bit of a perhaps a bit of a ghetto for luxury brands. But what's great is this is really a newsstand in bloom, and I've only seen this grow and prosper. So maybe tell our listeners where we're sitting and what we're looking at right now.
Well, it is properly in bloom because we're surrounded by nice pots of oleander, and the bougainvillea is growing up behind me. But where we are is this amazing newsstand, which has all the things you kind of want at this time of the morning. It has a little setup outside where you can get a juice made and get a coffee, which is under shelter just in case rain one day did fall here. And there's nice ivy growing up the back as well. But inside, it's got just a good range of all the magazines and newspapers you want. And it's got that pulse that we like. We've just been standing here a few minutes and there's already people stopping on their bicycles to pick up their morning newspapers, get their magazines. And it's an interesting run as a kiosk because it has two versions in a way. It has a part facing the street where you can just go up to the man and hand your money over the counter. Or you can go inside if you want to peruse for a bit longer and build your media pile a bit higher. But it just seems to be a place that is the spot on the square that everyone wants to go to.
Hmm. Just on that note as well, it's painted this sort of lovely, not quite a minty green, it's sort of somewhere between a minty and mossy green, and it doesn't sort of jump out of its environment, but it also, I think, very much respects sort of a color palette that is widely used here. We're just actually getting a little bit of a delivery. One of the wonderful things about being on the stand, as Andrew was saying, is there is a... of course, you can come and get your great coffee. We've decided, we've already put sort of three coffees in on a Saturday morning. We've decided to go for a round of granitas, and I can see Rich is just about to plunge his spoon in, grazie, to his limone granita. Every good newsstand needs a granita, doesn't it, Rich?
Absolutely. And for
readers... Actually, goes with Rich's hat as well. You've gone for a Porto Covo hat. I'm not sure if you stole that out of the fashion cupboard or where it came from. But anyway, you've matched it with your beverage this morning.
I have, and it's not loot from the fashion cupboard. It's loot from a recent fashion trip to Portugal.
Okay.
And the granita's lovely. Granita, for those who don't know, is a sorbet which you then scrape during the freezing process.
Thanks for that, Rich. Reflecting on the newsstand as well, a lot of our listeners have heard we're working on our kiosk cafe. I think if we had to do something in certainly a more favorable climate, this would almost be the model you'd want to go for, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's perfect. What's nice about this newsstand is talk about know your environment, because it's a proper resort newsstand. Hmm. And you go in there, and of course there's a great selection of magazines, but along the bottom shelf, there's like 100 comics for kids. There's something for families in there, and having got two children and being on the beach, there are times when you need to go and pick up a Playmobil magazine to get them through a cloudy hour. And they've got everything in there, from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to a range of sweets to some just good old-fashioned Asterix and Tintins. And it's great. And it's like newsstands like that, they kind of make you happy. They encapsulate everything that goes on in this amazing, incredible environment that we're in. Mm.
I've just been doing a bit of research before our team descended on Forte de Marmi. I had about 2 or 3 days off. And I have to say that it was amazing looking around, Andrew, because we're always sort of talking about the friction between digital versus print. And I have to say that when you're on a busy beach, and these are obviously very safe beaches, and of course, people knowing this stretch of Italy as well, everything is largely franchised out, so you have to rent your beach lounger, etc. Nevertheless, there, of course, there's lots of people wandering around. But I have to say, I counted one person who I believe was probably reading, not doing puzzles and things, on a tablet. And you do see this wonderful sort of ebb and flow of people arriving with their various bits of print. I think that's the great thing. When Rich says, know your market as well, this is a resort, not totally dominated by Italians, but a lot of Italians. And then, very, huge inflow of Germans in the summertime, Brits as well. I mean, we've got the weekend editions. We've got the Süddeutsche Zeitung here. You can go and pick up your copy of Die Zeit. Of course, we've got the Financial Times, International New York Times as well. But just pick up on Rich said, the other side of going for comics, you managed to grab a great little book. And I think that's this other lovely thing. As much as you've got all of these kids' titles, there's just a lot of really, it's not trashy beach reading, but there's all kinds of interesting sort of saucy novels, interesting thrillers set out as well.
Yeah, I just picked up, it's shrink-wrapped. I haven't seen if there's any kind of rude pictures inside. I'm hopeful.
I'm going to open it up.
I'm hopeful. But what's great, I can't tell if this book has been actually on sale since 1960 or somebody just hasn't updated the cover art on these trashy novels for the beach. It's certainly a book you wouldn't kind of take back to your apartment in Rome. You would leave it here after you'd read it. But it has a nice cover with an operating table on they're undoing the.
It's a sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus.
Isn't it?
It's an Egyptian sarcophagus, and they're pulling out a mummy. So there's some tough things. But you get two books for the price of one. They're just great. They're just that thing that you want when you go to the beach. But we'll have to investigate to find out when this was last reprinted, because someone's being very cheap on the cover art commissions, I think.
Okay, well, actually, I've just opened the magazine, and this is it's Urania is the name of the title, and it's a romanzi. It's published by Mondadori. Now, we were hoping that maybe this illustrator was still around because we'd like to commission them. This actually was printed in 1980, but the original came out in 1979.
So it shows if you write a good beach novel in Italy, you've got some commission coming in for quite a good few years.
Yeah, exactly. or it could be, in fact, Pubblicazione Registrata presso il Tribunale di Milano, 1955, in fact. In fact, this could look like a 1955.
Yeah. So they're still using the cover art from 1955 on the reprints of this nice beach novel.
And I am looking through it, and we've just come across a fantastic ad inside showing British Airways Concorde, Grande Concorso, Urania Concorde, and it's showing actually BA's old logo as well. And it's a little preview for another story. But this is just sort of one of the many, many delights that, of course, you'll find on an Italian newsstand. I'm going to actually probably leave it with Rich over on this side of the table, because he can get a couple of design pointers as we're chatting today. One of the great things that we like about the newsstand here, though, is this very peculiar thing that happens on the weekends. And I think that the Italians have done something very interesting. All of the big publishers, whether it's Il Sole 24, whether it's La Repubblica, whether it's Corriere della Sera, they have a very, very strong, vibrant, and I think quite unique supplement model. So we've just got Friday's edition of Il Sole 24. So what they've done is you can opt in to get your supplement if you want. And also the supplements are then available almost for the rest of the month until they come out again. Of course, there are some weeklies, but there are some monthlies. And we've got Il, which we like. Maybe just to take us through, I think a really fantastic summer cover for a supplement.
Yeah, they have a summer special, and there's the it's shot as though it's shot through the kind of the heat haze on a beach. There's a gentleman in his kind of bathrobe holding an inflatable crocodile under his arm. But it's just that sense of summer and that sense of warmth, which, you know, so this is a newspaper, obviously, that in Italy is doing a little bit like the FT would do in other markets. It's a business newspaper. But we've always admired what they've done with the magazine. There's a combination of great reporting, but also they always just have like the best graphics and the best use of illustration. And I think that's what kind of, you know, sets them apart here.
Rich, you're quite a fan of what these guys do at Il. I think we're always very impressed by what they do on the infographic side. But I think you're also feeling a little bit jealous looking at this cover because you rather sort of like the wonky print that they've gone for.
I do, yeah, and it's a very interesting colour. The cover image is like a very sort of bleached out yellow, and then the type is a pastel kind of blue. You wouldn't ever kind of sign off on that commercially, but because it's a supplement, you can kind of get away with it. It's interesting that it exists on Stand After. But I just love it. It's just playful. It's summery. And it's great. And I love the addition of the inflatable crocodile. I think that is a recurring theme this summer. They're in the J.Crew windows. It's in the Il Pelicano Hotel. There's this famous Slim Aaron shot of a woman on an inflatable crocodile in the pool. So green inflatable crocodiles is the fashion tip for the summer.
Well, it's not the only fashion tip, is it, Andrew? Because we've now got a complete melange of yellow looking at Richard Spencer Powell. We've got the hat, we've got the yellow cover, we've got the Granita Limone here. You're listening to The Stack here on a Saturday. We're doing a special edition of the program today. We are in Forte di Marmi. When we come back, we'll be looking at the men's market in the UK and abroad.
It's big, handsome, and will spend the whole summer by your side. It's the sun-dappled July-August Quality of Life double issue, and it's waiting for you now. Here's what our editors have lined up.
In culture, we look at media at the heart of the city, visiting those cool cats at New York Magazine, Cadena Ser in Madrid, and Radio Liban in Beirut.
In the design section, we meet the Swedish firm excelling in the growing world of wooden high-rises.
In the edit section, we meet three startups improving city living in Oslo, Paris, and Hong Kong.
The July-August issue is on sale now, or make your life easier with a subscription. Visit monocle.com to join the club.
You're back with this very special edition of The Stack here on Monocle 24, coming to you from Edicola Fortino here in Forte di Marmi with me, Tyler Brulé, Richard Spencer Powell, our creative director, also our editor, Andrew Tuck. Andrew, it's actually been a bit of a busy few days here. We've had 11 other colleagues on site for the magazine. And some people, of course, who know the program, if we rewind back to January, we did this very program from a kiosk in the center of Samaritz. We've now decamped down to Tuscany for this program. Don't want to give away too many state secrets, but a couple of interesting things on the horizon that we're looking at. Books have, of course, been a huge part of what we're doing. Everyone knows that we've got New York and London on the newsstand, but yeah, in the coming really few weeks, we'll be seeing first bound copies of our next two books.
Yes, yeah, so at the end of July, we'll be bringing out the next two in our travel guides, which are Hong Kong and Tokyo. And you may have spotted a theme. We're working our way around our big bureau to begin with, making sure that all of the cities where we have a really good footprint are covered properly. But there's another five of those books coming your way over this year, all being published by Gestalten. We're going to be heading off to Miami, to Bangkok, to Istanbul. We're also going down to Rio ahead of the Olympics. So some really great books coming out. And also going to coincide, Tyler, with the launch of The Escapist this summer as well, which is our other big adventure, I guess, in print.
Well, yeah, and I can see that Rich is trying to also just assess the different grades of yellow here. Right now, on most newsstands around the world, and I know that the new issue is already on newsstand in Hong Kong, talking about our July-August issue. Of course, it's out in Tokyo, so it's pretty much hitting most newsstands around the world right now. That's got a very strong yellow theme. Rich, as you cited, we shot that cover down in Portugal. But we're going to have a bit of a complementary relationship, I'd say, between the two covers. So when The Escapist hits newsstand middle of July, there'll be this sort of association or relationship between the two of them.
Absolutely, and I think it will look very strong. We haven't finalized that Pantone chip yet, but we're pretty close.
we've worked out what sheet from the Pantone book it's going to come from, and I think we're down to sort of the last three. It's going to be bright, and it'll be a handsome partner, I think.
Tell me, just both of you, and we'll go and listen to a little package about the menswear business. And set up the stall for people who haven't heard about The Escapist is yet, and what we're looking to achieve, and I guess not just within the Monocle world, but I think obviously as ever, always looking at what the opportunity we've spotted within the shelves of the newsstand.
Well, as the name Escapist says, there is a hint at journeys to be had, and they're not all tourist journeys. These are journeys about exploration in a very broad sense. We're trying to send you to places that perhaps you've thought about going to, you've seen on the map. Sometimes when you're on that plane and you see all the names popping up on the in-flight map, you think, oh, I wonder where that is. And this is where we're going to take you down to ground and let you check in and see some different places. So we've been in the north of Japan, in Hokkaido. We've been in Spain, but in a town that doesn't normally get too much coverage. And we've just tried to direct people to both the business opportunities, the things you can do for fun there, for culture, a really broad take on the world. And I think that we felt that there is a kind of a world of reporting about place which doesn't quite happen in travel magazines, which are perhaps a bit too light and a bit too all following the same trail, and which doesn't happen actually in the newspapers, which are perhaps too gritty and dark about some of the places they're going to. So these are, as always with Monocle, places of opportunity, of things that you'll find, but hopefully a bit joyous as well.
Not too much of a shameless plug, but if you want to secure your copy, of course, always important to go down to your local newsstand. You can, of course, go to monocle.com as well and advance order a copy. Just over the hills, and it's always amazing looking. You've got beachside, and then you can look to the Apennines behind us. And we were just sort of sitting on the beach yesterday, and you sort of see these incredible mountaintops, which you think they're snow-capped, but in fact, you're looking at sort of the shining sort of face of marble. Well, just beyond those, for the last few days, Florence has been very busy, because that is the site to Pitiuoma. We've had about three or four editors on the scene there. We're going to be heading up tomorrow to Milan to, of course, host our twice-yearly party, which is always hosted at the Park Hyatt in Milan. And this is, it's an incredibly, probably one of the most important weeks on the fashion calendar globally. And as I said, sort of co-anchored between both Florence and Milan. So something sort of a whirlwind for all those who are busy themselves with, of course, things sartorial. It began, of course, with an ever stronger London Collection men's last weekend. And then all eyes are, of course, on this region with Pitti. And of course, as we said, Milan. But of course, how does print keep up with all of this? And who and what are those with both an interest and a career in fashion paying attention to? For some cutting edge opinion, we spoke to Guillaume Samon. He is a pioneering retailer, of course, from Collat in Paris, and fellow Frenchman André Sariva, formerly of L'Officiel Homme. We also snooped on the fashionable end of the newsstand that's on our very own street, going down Chiltern Street, and got our Fernando Augusto Pacheco to see what gents who care what they wear have in their tote bags.
My name is Cyril Krenzel, and I read mostly Fantastic Man and Veron magazine. Those are one of my two favourites. Fantastic Man because it has a very unique point of view, a unique style of writing. Just a clear art direction that I think is still quite artistic, but also accessible. It's not too avant-garde for the guy that reads GQ, but it also still has a certain quality to it that makes it a little bit different from those from the commercial magazines.
My name is Tom Griffiths. I'm a photographer, and the magazines I read are The Rake, Man About Town, and Uomo. Working as a photographer, I think I love the imagery in the magazines, and I think it's important to stay current in terms of style and how I shoot for my clients as well.
I'm Sandeep. I have a new stall in Chiltern Street, just around the corner from Monaco. We sell kind of Offbeat and the standard GQ and FHM, not Esquire. But men are gearing more and more towards buying things that are more independent, maybe only come out once or twice a year, but have a lot better content. And in terms of quality of printing and paper, there are a lot more things that you would keep rather than just get rid of once you've read it.
I'm Raphael. I'm Swiss, and I really like Fantastic Man, and mainly because it's just a very lush experience. It's got the great paper. It feels good. It smells good. It's only twice a year, which I think makes it quite special. And then the content is always quite different and unexpected, and I like it for that.
Those were the views of some of Chiltern Street's best-dressed gentlemen on the state of men's magazines. And now we hear from Paris and from high-end retailers Colette and their pressman of 12 years, Guillaume Salmon.
On a personal level, I take notice on few magazines, big one or independent one. Of course, magazines like ID or GQ or L'Officiel Homme matters, but I really pay attention to magazines like Jocks and Nerds, Free and Easy, Industry, Appartamento, Assistant, Inventory, Fucking Young, Hobo, Holiday, Document, Men of the World, Intermission, Business of Fashion, of course, and also Ask Nobiety, Art Beast, or The New Order. I'm lucky enough to work at Colette, and we always had the chance and the pleasure to introduce young and underground and independent magazine. That's what we show. So, of course, in my work and my curiosity, I always pay attention to this magazine and I work close with them. But I would say that since maybe 4 years, many more magazines came up also. We take notice of magazine and independent magazine because they are independent, so they do what they want, and they have sometimes a naive view, but it's important to see which designers they're showing, which brand they want to push up. And as a source for our buyer, I'm not buyer, but I know that our buyer reads all the magazines we have in the store and also probably all the magazines in the world, because it's always important to see the new stylists, the new editors, the new photographers, and the new brands. So we stay focused on that. And also about my colleague, we are very sensitive to this new independent magazine and sensitive to their artistic direction as well. What we say, sometimes advertising is more important for some houses, and when money matters more than taste, you can have some little problems. So I would say, but I'm sure you know that if you want some pressure, pay a look to the independent ones.
I'm Andre Survivor. I used to run a magazine called L'Officiel Homme, who was a more commercial men's magazine, and that I tried to bring in a more independent or a more precise magazine with a vision, with a point of view. And I think today the smaller publication, they have this point of view who is not commercial, and I guess that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a point of view and not just an overview who would please everybody. They want an attitude. They want something who is a bit more intellectual in a way. I come from the culture of paper, and I'm a big fan of, I live surrounded by books and image and photography. I always loved the magazine since I was a kid, and I still enjoy spending time in a newsstand or in a library. And for me, the print is still important. But I think will still exist and it will continue to exist, but in those more unique and more independent publications, than the mainstream fashion prints and titles.
And those are the voices of Guillaume Salmon, pioneering retailer from Colette, and Andre Sariva, formerly of L'Officiel Homme, and also very own Fernando Augusto Pacheco, finding out what mags gents on Chiltern Street have their eyes on. Just in the interest of time, so we've already whizzed through almost a half hour of the program. We've got a couple of things here. Andrew, you've got Corriere della Sera's style magazine. Rich, you picked up something there was also in Vogue Homme. I'm not sure who had the observation about Justin Bieber, but maybe he needs to go back to modeling school because he doesn't have sort of the most diverse array of poses, does he, Andrew?
They've shot Justin Bieber for the issue, and he seems to have the one look. It's a deep pout with your head tilting in one direction. He's obviously worked out what he thinks is the best look, and he is going to stick with that look. But what is interesting is, you know, this both Corriere and Vogue on, they L'Uomo Vogue rather, they have looked at the world of Hollywood and actors in these issues, and they both seem to be able to pull up really good interviews. And it's a, you know, it's the classic lineup of photographers. It's the likes of Peter Lindbergh in L'Uomo Vogue, really big names. And it's always interesting. It's never going to break a big story, Men's Vogue here, but it's always got these great photographic names.
Rich, just looking at L'Uomo Vogue, you see names like Michelle Comte, Bruce Weber. Does that become part of their brand? Because they are L'Uomo Vogue, they have to still work with names like that. It's almost, you know, they're there because they can afford to work with, you know, certainly that type of talent. They're able to draw the models, etc. And you feel it is probably sort of the room for, you know, the new self-published, the emerging to break other photographers, or would you like to see it mixed up a little bit?
Personally, I'd like to see it mixed up a bit, because I think if you're interested in print and magazines, you do want to see a little bit of change. It's interesting, Italian magazines, they don't seem to ever want to change. We haven't got a copy of, you know, Italian Vogue here, Women's Vogue, but I think Mazzel has shot every cover since the outset of time for them, and great, of course, I love Steven Mazzel's work, and I commission him, of course, but it's interesting that they don't ever seem to want to shift it. Fonts, justified type, grids, it's the same. I mean, I've collected some Italian Vogues over the years, and if I had an old one here, you wouldn't tell the difference. It would still be look like their current issue. So yes, I think the independent magazines need to break the new talent, and I think that's part of the kind of the biannual fashion magazines. But I think in regards to keeping with the same photographers, it becomes part of their branding. I think it would take a brave editor to take Steven Mazzel off of, you know, the commission for the cover of Italian Vogue. So it's obviously working for them. So why not?
It is interesting because there is going to be a real change, I think, when you see the change of the guard of Suzzani and what happens at all of these magazines. I think in Italy, and we're talking about, when I say all of these magazines, you know, those which are from the Condé Nast stable here. It's going to be interesting with L'Uomo Vogue, as you said, you know, with Vogue Italia, and they all sort of live within their own little fiefdom, I think, Andrew, within the Condé Nast world.
And I think just commercially, it's extraordinary when you look at these magazines and you crack them open, you see so many brands that really just use these magazines as their shop windows. They're not advertising widely elsewhere outside of Italy. And although the Italian market may not be the biggest market for them, this is where they put on their best show. This is where they strut their finery. So even something like Men's L'Uomo Vogue here, just so many ads that you would never see anywhere else.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there. That brings us to an end of this very special Italian Edicola edition. And that would be show 147 of The Stack with me, Tyler Berlet. Of course, my guest today, Andrew Tuck and Richard Spencer Powell. Also, we've been very ably joined by our Tom Edwards, who has been producing this program remotely with Mike in one hand and Granita di Frutto di Bosco in the other. This episode of The Stack has also been produced by David Pleasant back in London and has been assembled by Chris Grimes. If you have any comments or queries, then drop us a note to info@monocle.com. Remember, we're back next Saturday at the very same time as ever, and of course you can always listen again on the beach or anywhere else via our website, via iTunes, or of course at SoundCloud. But for now, for me, goodbye.